This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop here on The Rock. I'm here in my my bedroom. I'm looking at a Descendants and a Metallica poster. And on the phone, I actually have Nate Garrett from Spirit Adrift. His record, Divided by Darkness, put out one of my favorite records of the year. And it was actually on the top 30 list of Metal Shop's best albums of the year. Are you down in Arizona right now?
My wife and I just moved to rural Texas. Outside of Austin, Texas, actually. Yeah.
I'm wearing a Waterloo Records t-shirt right now.
I saw that when we were attempting our Zoom earlier.
Yeah, right? Technology be damned. We're just doing this old school via the phone and the connection and stuff. So anyways, Nate, you just moved. Did you move during the madness of lockdown and stay at home thing, or did you do it before?
We got down here before things got bad. We had a lot of personal madness going on. This whole year has been insane for us, even outside of what's going on with the pandemic and everything. But we moved at the beginning of March.
Okay.
So literally got down here March 1st. And so we barely made it out in time. And I'm glad we did, because we weren't super thrilled with our living situation. We had a nice place, but our neighborhood, we had these sorry-ass neighbors. We just weren't really, like, it was noisy and not very comfortable as far as that goes. And just our area was, like, so congested with traffic and people. And so we're in a neighborhood now, but we're out in the woods, and we have, like, an acre and a half that we could go walk around on. And it worked out. It was, like, very fortuitous and fortunate how it all worked out.
How are you doing, man? How are you and her? How are you staying sane, staying safe, and how are you filling your time?
Well, I'm actually busier than I have been in a long time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because it's weird. No matter what, I'm writing music every day and working. Like, I make a point to work on band stuff every day.
Nice.
It almost seems as if everyone else in the quote unquote music industry, now that there are no distractions and now that there's nothing, there's no excuse not to just work on stuff. Like, everyone's doing stuff now. It's really funny. And then also a lot of friends of mine who are musicians, I'm not so much talking about musicians that I know, because most of the musicians that I know work on music all the time, but it's more of kind of like the industry people who you can't ever get a hold of. Now all of a sudden my inbox is like full all the time.
There's no excuses. It's like, motherfucker, I know you have the time. I know you're checking your email.
So I've been doing what I always do, which is writing songs and taking action towards future plans in regards to the band and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then also I've been doing a lot of projects, like cross country, like me and Leon Del Muerte, who's a West Coast dude. We have something in the works. Like, I've got something in the works with that 2 Minutes to Late Night, which will be coming out soon. I did a thing for Guitar World magazine.
Killer.
I did an interview with Kat Jones. We Are the Pit.
Yeah. I saw that yesterday.
That was a lot of fun.
She's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. doing this today, you know. And then in addition to that, you know, we just moved into a house in the country. Mm-hmm. And I've lived in the country once before, but it was during a time in my life where I was like pretty much checked out for a lot of different reasons. Mm-hmm. This is when I was younger.
I hear you.
And this time I'm like, I actually have like responsibilities here on the property. Just there's a lot of things every day that need to be taken care of, which I was.
Mm-hmm.
We adopted two puppies, so that's been like a full-time job. I work out every day. I make a point to do that. I read every day. Things aren't really that much different for me personally,
yeah,
other than the kind of underlying like collective grief and anxiety that the whole world is experiencing right now.
Yeah.
As far as my wife, she manages a department at Whole Foods in Austin.
Okay.
So she's still working.
Damn.
And that's pretty stressful. You know, I would hate for something to happen to her. So that's kind of on the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. The good news is I finally got her to stop vaping. She quit smoking like a few years ago.
Good.
But
yeah,
she switched to the vape thing, mm-hmm, which is exactly what I did.
Yeah.
And the vape, like, harder to quit in my experience, but she's like 3 days off of that.
Good.
So that's good. Yeah.
Give her some space if she's irritable, dude. Don't take it seriously if she wants to punch in the face.
Dude, we are through that stage, I think, hopefully. They're at least through the really, really intense part. And you know, I've quit nicotine like 1,000 times. I haven't smoked or vaped in like 2 years, I think.
Good, yeah.
But so I know how it is, so that helps. I remember what a psycho I was, mm-hmm, when I was going through it. But yeah, dude, we're just kind of, especially the next couple of weeks. I saw that we live in a county called Bastrop County,
yeah,
which is not the county that Austin is in.
Okay.
Austin's in Travis County.
Yeah.
So we were watching the numbers here, and they just started to go up. Like there's more confirmed cases, and there was actually a death. There's been one death because of COVID-19,
yeah,
and they're investigating like 300 some cases right now, and there's 180 confirmed. And last week it was like 3 confirmed cases or something.
World
so,
moves fast with this, yeah, dude. Seattle,
dude,
Seattle,
yeah,
was right, gnarly, and I mean it's not good, but luckily I think that in Seattle a lot of us have taken the like stay at home order very seriously, so it's at least kind of flattened the curve a tiny bit. I'm not gonna you know knock on wood and everything, but like New York City and Louisiana, and it's gnarly, man. So
it's scary. It's really scary. It's unprecedented in modern history.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm just trying to hope. I hope that people will figure out that they're, for the most part, and by people I mean everybody, like government, society, and individual people, employers, everybody, will figure out how out of whack all the priorities have been for,
yeah,
so long. I'm really hoping that we can come out of it. And I'm seeing that, and it's in my mind organically just from observing people, mm-hmm, through this. I'm seeing people are more kind. People are like just more like conscientious of how they're treating each other, mm-hmm, it seems like. So, I mean, hopefully some major good comes out of this. I've heard a lot of people saying the same thing, so let's just hope that this is not a wasted opportunity for growth as a species, you know?
Absolutely, man. And dude, it's, there's a lot. And I would agree with that. I hope that we kind of take, it doesn't just go back to normal, you know, things are back to normal. Let's, you know, do as the stupid things we were doing before. And also, like, I think that it kind of, allows us to, you know, realize that, like, you know, none of us can control this, and none of us can control like what's going on. So it is, it's nice to realize that. I mean, you kind of have to come to a realization that the only thing you can control is like your reaction to it, and the small things in your life that you can't control. So I've gotten into, you know, like I cooking for myself and like just routines and morning routines that like give me a little bit of normalcy. I appreciate it. I've never thought I would appreciate,
man,
like, hey, I'm making my bed. That's a nice little routine.
Well, that's the foundation of stoicism, which is really been connecting with a lot in the last year, particularly. Mm-hmm. What you said, I reached the point where I fundamentally and profoundly understood and believed that everything is fleeting and you shouldn't worry about anything. And I've always known that intellectually,
yeah.
But recently it like really clicked that you can't, it doesn't even make sense to worry about anything because it is all going to go away. It's simply a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't control anything that happens outside of our own behavior and our own thoughts. And sometimes we can't even control that, you know, but that's the only thing that we should even be attempting to control. And I think that if there was a spectrum of handling it well, I think I'm on the handling it well end of the spectrum because the band, yeah, we had a couple tours canceled. There was something in summer that we were going to do that we hadn't announced. It was going to be like really cool. And it didn't really bother me that much for a few reasons. Over the last few years, I've really come to the awareness that, like, if life is as fleeting as it is, then playing in a band is, like, more fleeting and fragile than you can imagine. I mean, bands break up over nothing all mm-hmm. the time. Mm-hmm. People stop playing music over nothing, over little minuscule stuff. So, you know, the past probably 5 years, I've really been working on myself and my life,
yeah,
completely separate from any sort of external rewards or band or external recognition or anything mm-hmm. like that. So I almost feel like I was in training in a lot of different ways for something like this to happen. And when our tours got canceled, I was just kind of like, man, I don't really care. I've been fortunate enough to make so much cool music. And I'm really glad that we went ahead and recorded a new album in January
mm-hmm.
because I probably would be freaking out a little more if we didn't have an album coming out later this year.
Wow. Okay.
But I'm just so proud of the new stuff, which people will hear later this year. I don't think any of this is going to affect us releasing the album. I think there's a 0% chance of that happening. So we'll have another record out this year. And dude, honestly, like, I told Kat this yesterday, this mm-hmm. interview I did yesterday.
Yeah.
If we don't tour again and if I don't get to do any whatever, like, I don't really care. I'm grateful that I got to do what I've got to do up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's enough. That's enough for me. I'm satisfied enough with myself and with my life that I don't really need anything from anybody. I would love to tour with Iron Maiden. I would love to tour with Metallica. I would love to continue to play music
yeah.
for a living, but like if that can't happen, I'm not gonna complain. I don't really care.
Hey man, like that's a amazing way to look at it too, and I think this like kind of this situation is breeding creativity with people, and you know, if you said it best, like what if, you know, you can't tour again? Who knows? I mean, I'm sure sometime in, you know, down the road things will go back to a semblance of what the new normal is, what people say. But you know, even if that didn't happen, you are a creative type, and you've proven that, you know, you can make the best of a situation. And who knows, maybe you just become like a studio band and produce music on your own, or you know, your band breaks up and you do your solo stuff. Who knows, man? You're adapting and you're creating and you're a creative type, and you know, maybe it isn't your full-time, you know, thing in the future. Who knows, man? But you know, where we have grown up through the underground and we've become, you know, kind of able to weather the storm. We have very thick skin. So, you know, we've kind of also, you know, going through like, you know, both, you and I have just like weathered the storm of like, you know, becoming sober. So that's another thing that's kind of like on our tool belt of just something that, you know, was cool, but got
that
through
will,
it.
That will, yeah. There's nothing externally that can hurt a drug addict or an alcoholic as bad as we hurt ourselves
mm-hmm.
in the past, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing scary. There's nothing scary to people that have gone to the bottom of that. And it's funny because what you just said is almost exactly what a buddy of mine said. My wife and I had people over to our house probably a couple days before we moved.
Yeah.
And my buddy, who's sober, was like, I was like, man, you know, it's a big deal moving, I guess, but it's not really. And he was like, dude, like, think about this shit been through, like, with alcohol and drugs. Like, it's just not, once you've gone through that, things are not really intimidating anymore. And, you know, I think about, like, I haven't been thinking about myself very much. I have definitely not have 1 second of, like, woe is me during this thing, because I am at a point where I'm able to recognize how many things I have to be grateful for.
Yeah.
And it's just such a strange thing that the whole world is going through something really hard right now. And I'm not even trying to, like, posture as some, like, selfless guy, because I'm not a selfless guy. I'm a very selfish person. But the honest truth is, like, I am more upset about what other people are having to go through.
Yeah.
Than, like, oh, I can't leave my house. Oh, I can't go on tour. Who gives a shit? Like, who gives a shit about bands not being able to go on tour? In the scheme of what we're facing right now, it's not a big deal.
That's a really selfless way to look at it, man. I it's nice to hear that kind of that reflection on it. It's a refreshingly empathetic thing to say.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about the new Spirit Adrift stuff, and more so just your kind of the importance of Spirit Adrift in your life, because last time we spoke, you were playing in both Gatecreeper and Spirit Adrift, and I saw that you left Gatecreeper, and also Chase left Spirit Adrift, so that you guys can give 100% of your focus to your main project. Was 2019 the year that you were like, dude, I gotta focus 100% on this?
Yeah, actually, I mean, there's a lot of factors involved. Originally, the bands were going to be separate. Like, I started Spirit Adrift. I recorded the EP and the full length, the first full length, before I joined Gatecreeper.
Okay.
And I wanted to be in Gatecreeper for sure at the time and tour with Gatecreeper, but I wanted the lineup of Spirit Adrift to be separate. Just thinking about the future, like, best case scenario, if Spirit Adrift also started touring, I thought it would make sense for the bands to be completely separate, so that Gatecreeper could get a fill in for me, and then maybe eventually just, like, replace me if both bands got busy enough. But the original bass player that I was looking at didn't work out, and so Chase ended up playing bass for Spirit Adrift. So I knew from the beginning, and I think most of us did, that was going to probably have to be, like, a temporary thing.
Yeah.
And so it was just really tricky to figure out when to make that change. And I think at some point Marcus from Spirit Adrift and Eric from Gatecreeper were talking about it, you know, like, man, eventually we're going to have to do something because these bands are getting really busy.
Yep.
Doesn't really make any sense to be, like, turning down tours, both bands, you know, so the other one can do something. And then that talk began to spread throughout the members. And then Spirit Adrift was actually on tour in Europe, and we got confirmed for the Corrosion of Conformity tour, which was just canceled. And that's when we had the discussion. We were, okay, now this is clearly, like, becoming an issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chase and Eric started Gatecreeper. It's their band. And Spirit Adrift is my band. Now it's me and Marcus's band. So it wasn't tricky as far as, like, oh, who's going to be in which band, you know? And, I think there's different priorities too. I will admit that I'm, like, extremely averse to the kind of, like, more business self-promotional side of things. I hate it. I really don't. I don't, and I'm not trying to seem noble or anything. It's almost a curse. Like, since I've been a kid, I just hate, like, anything attached to art that isn't art. I hate it. Don't want anything to do with it. I just have this natural, like, aversion to it. And there were things that was happening with Gatecreeper that kind of just felt like kind of my personal priorities weren't really in sync with. So it, a lot of different reasons it just needed to happen. And it became very clear to us last year. And I'm not saying I'm right and anybody else is wrong, because there is no right or wrong way, but it just, it seemed clear that like a split needed to happen.
Well, now, you know, it seems like, you know, you have all this time to now focus your time on and energy on Spirit Adrift and just your own mental health and happiness and stuff. And I'm looking forward to the new Spirit Adrift stuff. So in case you're just tuning in, we are talking with Nate from Spirit Adrift. He's mentioning they have a new album that's going to be coming out at the end of this year. I'm looking forward to it. If you have a chance, check out Divided by Darkness. And I know you have the time right now. I know you have the time. But Nate, before we go, what are four albums that changed your life for the positive?
Jimi Hendrix, Are You Experienced?
Mm-hmm.
Black Sabbath, Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. Changed my life for the positive. Paul Bearer, Sorrow and Extinction.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, let me really think about this. Tom Petty, Damn the Torpedoes.
Awesome. Good, man. That's a good selection. And I appreciate you you know, coming on and talking with me today. Any final words for the Northwest audience before we let you go?
Man, you guys hang in there. It seems like we can all look to your area for how to appropriately handle this. It seems like whereas a lot of the rest of the country didn't quite do the things they needed to, you guys seem to have really had the discipline and the wherewithal to handle this as well as you could. So thank you for that, and I hope you guys continue to remain safe, and we're with you.
Right on, Nate. Thanks for the words, man, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.